Welcome back to the Slow Almanac. I'm Ali. Tonight we wander together, slowly, to a place where nothing is in a hurry, and neither are we. If you enjoy these quiet journeys, take a moment to subscribe before we begin. That way, the next slow story will find you on Sunday night. Let your weight settle. Let the day go soft at its edges. Tonight, you are at a tidal mill on a low estuary. The building is old. Stone walls, a timber roof, a wooden wheel that turns in the dark water below. The tide is retreating now, and the mill is working. It has been working like this, twice each day. For a very long time. There is nothing you need to do. There is nowhere you need to be. The mill does not need your help. It only needs the moon, and the moon is already there. You are standing on a low stone quay at the edge of an estuary. The estuary is wide and shallow, not a river anymore, not quite the sea. The water here is brackish, a mixture of fresh and salt, and it smells of it. Clean mud, wet reed, the faint mineral sharpness of the open coast, somewhere beyond the mouth of the channel. It is a quiet smell. The kind of smell that belongs to places that have been left mostly alone. The mill sits at the edge of the quay, where the land meets the water. It is a compact building, lower than you might expect, with walls of rough-cut stone that have been pointed and repointed over the centuries. Until the mortar is the color of the mud it sits above. The roof is dark timber, steeply pitched. The walls are damp on the lower courses. A tide line of green algae marks where the water reaches at its highest, twice each day, and then retreats. A narrow wooden door faces the quay. The door is closed. Inside, the millstones are turning. You can hear the wheel from here. Not loudly. It is a low, continuous sound. Part groan and part rush. The sound of water being put to work. The wheel itself is on the seaward side of the building, set into a stone channel that runs beneath the mill floor. You walk around the building to look at it. The wheel is wooden, oak, mostly, with iron fittings at the axle and along the rim. It is perhaps 3 meters across, and it turns slowly, slowly enough that you can watch each paddle enter the water, catch and rise, dripping on the other side. The paddles are worn smooth at their edges. The water that drives them is dark and carries a little silt, and where it spills past the wheel, it spreads out across the mud in a thin, glittering sheet. Behind the mill, on the landward side, there is a pond. A mill pond, though it is large enough that you might call it a small lake. It is held in by an earthen embankment, a long, low wall of compacted clay and stone that curves around the back of the building and meets the estuary bank on either side. The embankment is old. Grass grows thickly on its crest. A few low shrubs have taken hold along the slope, and their roots have been there long enough that they are part of the structure now. The pond is lower than it was an hour ago. You can see the water line on the embankment's inner face, a dark band of wet earth, a few centimeters above the current surface. The pond is draining through the mill. That is the point of the pond. That is what the pond is for. The estuary beyond the embankment is lower still. The tide has been going out for 3 hours. The mud flats are beginning to show. Wide gray-brown shelves of it, perfectly flat, crossed here and there by the narrow channels that the water carves for itself each time it leaves. A few birds move on the mud, unhurried, probing with long bills. They do not look up. The sky is the color of pewter tonight. There is no moon visible, but the moon is there, on the other side of the clouds, doing its slow work on the water. You go inside the mill. The door opens with a little resistance. The wood has swollen in the damp. And then you are in a low room that smells of stone dust and grain and old timber. The floor is stone flags, worn to a gentle curve in the center where feet have crossed for many years. The ceiling is low, and above it you can hear the millstones turning. A deep, rhythmic grinding, felt as much as heard, a vibration that moves through the soles of your feet and into your legs. There is a shaft that comes up through the floor, turning steadily. It connects the wheel below to the stones above. The shaft is iron, dark, and slightly greasy. It turns without hurry. The stones above it turn without hurry. The wheel outside turns without hurry. Everything in this building is moving at the pace the water sets, and the water is moving at the pace the moon sets, and the moon is in no hurry at all. You lean against the stone wall. It is cool and slightly rough against your back. The grinding above you is steady and low. The water outside makes its soft sound. The building creaks once, slowly, as the timbers settle. You are in a tidal mill on a low estuary. The tide is retreating. The mill is working. This is all that is happening. Let me say that again, in a slightly different way. You are in a low stone building at the edge of an estuary where the land gives way to water and the water is never quite still. The building has been here for centuries, in one form or another. The wheel on its seaward side turns in the dark, driven by water draining from the pond behind. The millstones above you grind slowly. The floor vibrates. Very gently, under your feet. Outside, the estuary is wide and quiet. The mud flats are showing now, pale in the low light, and the birds are moving across them without sound. The embankment curves behind the mill, holding the pond. The pond is lower than the tide. That difference, the gap between the level of the pond and the level of the sea, is what runs this mill. A few meters of height, translated into turning stone. The temperature in here is steady. The stone walls are thick, half a meter in places, and they hold the cool of the ground and the water. In summer, it is cooler inside than out. In winter, it is warmer. The mill does not know what season it is. The mill only knows the tide. The wheel turns, the shaft turns, the stones grind. The water drains. Somewhere above the clouds, the moon pulls at the sea, and the sea responds, and the estuary responds, and the pond responds, and the mill responds. A chain of slow causes, reaching all the way from the sky to the floor beneath your feet. You can stay here as long as you like. The mill will not stop. It will run until the pond and the estuary reach the same level, and then it will rest, and then the tide will turn, and the water will rise again, and the pond will fill, and in a few hours, the mill will run again. It has been doing this for a long time. It will keep doing it. The story of how this mill works is a story about the moon, and about water finding its level, and about a very old piece of engineering that asks almost nothing of the people who built it, only patience and an understanding of how the tide moves. It begins in the open ocean, far from here. The moon's gravity pulls at the surface of the sea, drawing it up into a broad, low bulge that follows the moon as the earth turns beneath it. The sun adds its own, smaller pull. Together, they set the rhythm of the tides, a rhythm that is almost, but not quite, regular. The time between one high tide and the next is roughly 12 hours and 25 minutes. Not 12 hours. Not 12 and a half. 12 and 25. The moon does not keep clock time. It keeps its own time, and the sea follows. That rhythm propagates across the ocean and into the coastal waters, up the channels and inlets, into the estuaries. Here, in this low estuary, the tidal range, the difference in height between low water and high water, is several meters, enough to flood the mud flats completely at the top of the tide, enough to leave them bare and wide at the bottom, enough to run a mill. The people who built this mill understood all of that. In practical terms, without the vocabulary of physics, they understood that the tide comes and goes. They understood that water, given a chance, flows from higher to lower. And they understood that if you could hold the high water in a pond and then let it out in a controlled way when the tide had retreated, you would have a difference in level. A head of water that could turn a wheel. The pond behind this mill is the key to the whole thing. It is not an accident. It was dug or enlarged or enclosed by the embankment specifically to serve as a reservoir. When the tide rises, the pond fills. It fills through sluice gates. Heavy wooden or iron gates set into the embankment, hinged so that they open inward as the tide pushes against them, and swing shut when the tide begins to fall. They are a simple valve. Water can enter. Water cannot leave. Not that way. So the tide rises. The sluice gates open. The pond fills, rising with the estuary, until high tide is reached. Then the tide turns. The water in the estuary begins to fall. The sluice gates swing shut, pushed by the weight of the water now held in the pond, which is higher than the estuary. The pond is now a reservoir of potential energy, a store of height. The miller waits. This is important. The miller waits until the estuary has fallen enough, until the difference in level between the pond and the open water outside is sufficient to drive the wheel with useful force. This might take an hour. It might take a little more. The miller cannot hurry it. The tide sets the schedule, and the tide answers to the moon, and the moon does not negotiate. When the head of water is sufficient, the miller opens the sluice that feeds the mill wheel. This is a different gate, not the one in the embankment, but one that sits at the entrance to the channel beneath the mill floor. When it opens, the water in the pond has somewhere to go. It flows through the channel, under the building, and strikes the paddles of the wheel. The wheel turns. The energy of the falling water, the energy of the height difference between the pond and the estuary, is transferred into rotation. The wheel's axle turns the shaft. The shaft turns the millstones. The millstones grind the grain. The miller feeds grain in from above, and flour comes out below. And the whole system runs on nothing but the moon pulling at the sea. The wheel you can hear turning now is an undershot wheel. The water strikes the paddles at the bottom of the wheel's arc, pushing them forward. It is not the most efficient design ever made, but it suits this place. The water here is not fast. It is not falling from a great height. It is simply draining steadily from a higher level to a lower one, and the undershot wheel is well suited to slow, steady flow. Some tidal mills use a different arrangement, a breast wheel, where the water meets the paddles partway up the wheel's face, giving a better angle of push. Some use a low wooden flume to direct the water more precisely. The details vary from mill to mill, from estuary to estuary. But the principle is always the same. The tide rises. The pond fills. The tide falls. The water drains through the wheel. The stones turn. The grinding above your head is the millstones working. There are two of them, a fixed lower stone, called the bedstone, and an upper stone, called the runner, which rotates. The grain is fed through a hole in the center of the runner stone, and as the stone turns, the grain is drawn outward between the two faces, ground finer and finer as it moves toward the edge and falls as flour into a wooden trough that surrounds the stones. The gap between the stones is critical. Too wide, and the grain is not ground fine enough. Too narrow, and the stones touch, and the friction generates heat, and the flower scorches. The miller adjusts the gap by raising or lowering the bedstone, a mechanism connected to a long wooden lever called the tentering gear. The miller listens to the sound of the stones. A good miller can hear when the gap is right. The sound changes, a little lower, a little smoother, when the grain is feeding well and the grind is even. The mill runs for as long as the head of water lasts. As the pond drains and the estuary continues to fall, the difference in level between them shrinks. The flow through the wheel slows. The wheel turns more slowly. The stones grind more slowly. And then, when the pond and the estuary reach the same level, there is no more head. The flow stops. The wheel stops. The stones stop. The mill rests. The estuary is at its lowest now. The mud flats fully exposed. The channels running thin. The birds are out on the mud. The building is quiet, except for the small sounds of water settling and wood contracting. Then the tide turns again. The sea begins to rise. The water comes back up the estuary, slowly at first, then faster as the channel fills. The sluice gates in the embankment feel the pressure of the rising tide and swing open. The pond begins to fill. The water rises in the pond, rising with the tide, until high water is reached again, and the cycle begins once more. High tide. Pond fills. Tide falls. Pond drains through the wheel. Stones grind. Low water. Rest. High tide again. Twice each day. Every day. The mill runs on a clock set by the moon, and the moon keeps its own time, and so the mill's working hours drift forward by about 50 minutes each day, sometimes running at noon, sometimes at midnight, sometimes in the gray hours before dawn. The miller learns the schedule by feel, by habit, by watching the water at the embankment. There is no other way to know. Come back to where you are sitting. The stone wall at your back. The low ceiling above. The vibration of the stones through the floor. The wheel is still turning outside. You can hear the water on its paddles. A soft, continuous sound, like a slow breath. The mill is in the middle of its run. The pond still holds enough water. The estuary is still low enough. There is still work to do, and the mill is doing it, without effort, without complaint. The stone walls hold the cool. The air smells of grain and damp and old wood. The shaft turns in its housing, slow and steady. Outside, the mud flats are wide and pale, and the birds are still there, and the estuary is beginning, very slowly, almost imperceptibly, to rise again. The tide is turning somewhere out at sea. In a few hours, the water will be back at the embankment. The sluice gates will open. The pond will fill. You do not need to be awake for any of that. The mill will manage. It has always managed. The tide will come and go whether you watch it or not, and the wheel will turn when the water is ready, and the stones will grind when the wheel turns. And none of it requires anything from you tonight. The day is behind you now. Whatever it held, let it settle. the way silt settles in still water, slowly, to the bottom, out of the way. There's nothing to hold on to. The water is moving. The wheel is turning. The moon is doing its slow work above the clouds. If you'd like more of these, you can follow along quietly. The button is just below this video. Sleep well. The wheel turns. The water drains from the pond in a thin, steady stream, and where it meets the estuary, it spreads out across the mud and disappears. The millstones grind. The flour falls into the trough below, soft as dust, warm from the friction of the stone. The old building settles into itself. The timbers creak just once, and then they are still again. The tide is turning somewhere far out. The moon is pulling at the sea. The sea is beginning very slowly to rise. The mill rests in the dark and waits and does not hurry. Neither do you.